Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio. Diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. So today we have special guest Tyson McDonald.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Some of you out there might know Tyson as the Australian Psycho. How did you get this Instagram name? Tell me how you come up with it.
So my original Instagram name was Daddy Manchild, but then I grew out of the Manchild because I became over the age of 18. So it came from my favorite movies, American Psycho, and it just so happened to be that Australian Psycho was there, so I took it. It's a pretty simple story, really.
Simple story for a simple man.
That's right.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about your bicep tendon rupture rehab journey. But for everyone listening, why don't you enlighten them on what got you into the powerlifting world originally?
So I originally played footy, had no real interest in powerlifting or bodybuilding or anything like that. So then gave up footy when I was 18, just started working full time and eventually met one of my best mates, Jax, who is the coach of Evolve Healthy Bodies, who's now my coach and has been my coach now for what it'd be 6 years now. So he always wanted me to come down and just didn't want to give him a bar of it and fell into it. And here we are, really. He started off at Peak Physique and then he moved to Peninsula Barbell and then we've been there ever since.
There you go. I mean, 6 years on, and then obviously powerlifting is a pretty important thing to you for you to go through such a significant injury and then come back to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where I don't really get much out of not doing nothing. I have to do something, and then powerlifting really pushes that limit for me, which is really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, okay. So, and when you hurt yourself, was there ever any question if you were going to get back to powerlifting or not? Or were you always very adamant that you were going to get back?
No, always going to come back. Yeah. There wasn't a thought in my mind. Maybe in the first 2 seconds when all the boys saw me throw my belt and throw my mouth guard with one arm and I said, nah, this is enough. I'm just throw all my shit out. I'm not doing it again. But then once I sort of calmed down and, you know, everything was in place, I had my surgery booked and all that, it was, yeah, just straight on from there.
Yeah. All righty. Wait, is throwing your belt a common occurrence in the gym?
Depends who's around.
Very good. All right. So take us back to the day where the injury happened.
So 4 weeks out from Pro Raw, it was my second last heavy deadlift, which was planning to be, I think, about 310, I think I was supposed to pull, 310 or 307. Warm-ups were absolutely flying. Felt really, really good. Last warm-up was going to be 280. And it's really funny, I actually told Shannon this story the other day. All day before this deadlift, I was sort of thinking when we were working, I'm like, when you tear a bicep, how do you pronounce it? Is it you tore a bicep tendon or I can't remember the way I was thinking it in my head, but I didn't actually say it. I was just thinking it in my head all day. And then I ended up tearing it on 280 on my last warm-up. It was funny when I did it, I actually felt the bar. It wasn't in my hands properly as soon as I picked it up off the ground, but me just being me just wanted to rip through it and literally rip through it.
Yeah. And then, so when it actually happened, what did it sound like?
It sounded like grabbing a pair of jeans and ripping them is what I've been told from Shannon and Bundy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And straight away you knew, did you know what it was?
Yeah, straight away I knew. Because I actually, like the feeling of it was like what you feel when you rip a pair of jeans as well. So I definitely knew straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. There you go. Beautiful. And then so what happened that day? What was the process then with getting you into surgery?
So the process was as soon as I did it, we went straight to Frankston Hospital, sat there for about 2 hours and literally had no pain relief given to me, had one nurse come up and see me because when I walked up to the desk, they asked me what's happened and I said, oh, I think I've tore my bicep and I don't think they understood that I meant my tendon. So I was literally sitting there and then my partner, Beck, was like, this is just getting ridiculous now. So she walked up and went and got a nurse and she's like, oh, okay, let me have a look. And I tried to extend my arm and I really couldn't. And she just looked at it and she went, oh, And then literally within 15 minutes, they'd given me an endone. And unfortunately, they told me that they couldn't really do anything for me there at the time because there was no x-rays available or any of that sort of stuff. So they're like, oh, you're going to have to either try and get a booking with us next week, because this was done on a Thursday, I'm pretty sure, or you're just going to have to try your luck and just stay here and sit here and then someone might rock up. So we decided to go home. And the next day, which was the Friday, I just sat there with Beck. I'm like, I'm not sitting around waiting for phone calls. Let's just go to Peninsula Private, which is just down the road, which I should have gone to in the first place, because walked in, paid the excess, which I think was about $200, and I was seen within an hour, had my x-rays and ultrasound done in an hour and had a referral literally that day. So, yeah, that was the process, really.
Yeah. I guess resources can be scarce at public hospitals, but sometimes they can take quite a while to do things. And obviously with an injury like this, the sooner they can repair it, the better the outcome is. So on the MRI, can you remember how far back the tendon was retracted?
It was 3 centimeters. So I can't remember whether it was which head it was. One was 3 centimeters and one was 2 centimeters.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so how long from that stage until actually getting the surgery?
So it was bang on a week. Yeah. So it was literally, I had my mother making phone calls, I was making phone calls, and we ended up getting a spot the next Thursday, which was really, really lucky, because I know a couple of people that I've spoken to now, they have done pecs, they've done their bicep as well, and they've waited for surgery for like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, that's perfect that you got in straight away. And then, and how did you feel straight away after surgery?
Oh, I was throwing up. I was like coming straight out of surgery. I don't know whether they gave me an extra dose or what they did, but it took me like 3 hours to wake up out of surgery when they expected me to wake up.
Wow.
And then when I did wake up, the nurse was like, oh, you're finally awake. How are you feeling? I'm like, oh, pretty rough. She goes, oh, do you feel good enough for a Zupa Dupa? And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to say no to a Zupa Dupa. So she goes, the only way I'm going to give you this is if you promise me not to spew. And I'm like, okay, I won't spew. So anyway, I'm eating it and I finished it. And I was like, oh, no, I actually feel really good now. And then as I finished it, they came in to take me to where I was staying overnight. And as soon as that bed moved, I just threw up everywhere. And as they're wheeling me out, I'm throwing up. The nurse literally was just looking at me and shaking her head. It was quite funny.
You betrayed her trust.
Pretty much.
One job. That's pretty decent snacks, though. I feel like most hospitals, it's normally like those little sandwiches that you don't really want to eat.
Well, I ate them too, and every time I ate one of them, I threw up as well.
Where was the gourmet?
That's right. I needed something better than that.
Yeah. If anyone knows Tyson out there, I think they know like how much Tyson takes an interest into cooking and how much he has a lot of fine meats. So, yeah, I guess the food there would have been a little bit inferior to what you're used to.
Yeah, it wasn't really a smoked meal, which I would have probably not even stomached, even the thought of, to be honest.
Yeah. Alrighty. And then, so you get home from surgery. Describe to us your rehab. What were the first stages?
I've got to try and think now. So long ago. So first stages were literally don't move anything for a week. And then I think I was 2 days in and I think I was mowing my lawn because I just couldn't not look at it and it was just sitting there. So luckily my mower self-propelled. It's a Mowmaster R22G, if anyone knows what I'm talking about.
Do you have a discount code for
No,
this?
I do not. It's not a paid ad, sorry. So for that first week, it was nothing really. And then I think it was coming into the second week. That's when I came. Oh, no, sorry. It was 2 weeks of doing nothing. And then it was exactly on the Thursday again. So 2 weeks after surgery, had all my bandages and everything taken off, and I literally came straight to you after that. And that's when we started. It was just light extension. What else did we do?
Just getting some movement through the arm and then just trying to make sure everything else around it didn't stiffen up.
That's
right. So you had a little bit of work through your thoracic upper body.
That's right.
A little bit for the wrist, for the hand. So, yeah, obviously, so at this stage, Tyson was in a sling. So his arm was very, very stiff, both from being in the sling, not being able to move it, and then also just from the nature of the surgery and the repair. So there was still some swelling, inflammation, and a lot of stiffness. So at this stage, we're just trying to protect the surgery, like allow things to heal, and then also make sure things around it don't quite stiffen up. So, yeah, being in a sling must have been tough. How did you go?
Yeah, I had to sleep in the sling for, I think it was, end up being 5 weeks, because that was like the stages where I wasn't allowed to really extend it. And I actually found in my sleep, lucky I did have the sling on, because I actually woke up myself a couple of times and I was actually pushing on the sling trying to stretch. So lucky I was wearing it, to be honest.
Yeah. Lucky you did what you were meant to. Trying to get your boxing on during the night.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. And then, so you come out of the sling. How long was it until you were able to start loading the bicep? Can you remember when you did your first bicep curl?
I think that was week, it would have been week 4 or 5, I reckon it was. Mm-hmm. And it was just hammer curls. So that was still 1 kilo. Actually, I started with no weight, didn't I?
Isometric,
that's right. Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
And I think it was only 1 kilo dumbbell. But at that stage, I was already doing cable tricep extensions and rows. That's right. Yeah. Rows with a cuff around my elbow. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, it feels like a lifetime ago now.
Yeah. Perfect. And then we started loading your bicep. And then we got you to deadlift in at about 8 weeks post injury.
Yep. It was, smack bang on 8 weeks.
Eight weeks. Yeah. Yep. With the rehab journey, what were the biggest milestones for you, like in regards to the rehab? Like, was something like getting back to the deadlift a milestone?
Being able to pick up a frying pan without it hurting. that was the first, when that happened, that was like, okay, I know I'm back on track now. But no, the first supinated bicep curl, which I think was about 7 or 8 weeks at the same time as well as deadlifting.
Yeah. Yep. Perfect. Yeah, yep, that would have been about it. And then at the same time we got you back to deadlift, we got you back onto the barbell bench.
Yeah, and the bench as well. Yeah, so all those big three sort of came in all together.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And how did you go with reintroducing the big three? Because obviously, like you said, when you did the injury, you were gearing up for a deadlift that was 300 kilos plus.
Yeah.
And when we reintroduced deadlifts at about that 8 week mark, you started at about 40 kilos.
Yeah.
How was that mentally for you?
Mentally, it was fine because in my head, I knew I was doing the rehab and I knew it needed to be done. And to be honest, I sort of looked at it. I said this to someone the other day when they asked me about my rehab, and I said, I took rehab as my full-time job and I knew that it had to be done, because if I didn't get it done, then I probably wouldn't be able to do that again. And like, it hurt the ego a little bit for the sole fact that everyone at ProRoll was doing all these numbers and I'm just sitting here going, I'm broken. But I wouldn't say it's changed my mindset at all, and I didn't really think it changed, you know. It's one of those things where I just sit here and I'm more than happy to go through that if it means that I can do better.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. With getting back to that first deadlift as well, like considering the deadlift was the movement that you injured yourself, was there any mental barriers? Like, was there any worry in the back of your mind?
I'd be lying if I said no, but I don't think there really was. There was, but it was more, again, I knew that what I've done, that previous work of what I'd done, was making me strong enough to do it now.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, I knew at some point I had to do it, and then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And all the work you'd done in the previous weeks would have led to that. So you were ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So with Tyson's rehab, he was definitely a very good client at doing his rehab. I think when you have an injury this serious, like no one probably knows unless they've gone through it, but it's at the start you are very limited at what you're allowed to do. So I think it can be quite easy just to, I guess, become a little bit of a victim and almost do nothing rather than doing what you can do. So, yeah, I think your strong mindset is part of what helped you accelerate rehab so quickly, because it's like you were literally doing everything you could. So we obviously had to respect like the healing timeframes of the body, but it's like, as well as healing timeframes, it's also the strength and the mobility that you're building up, like whether it's in the muscles around the bicep or whether it's in the bicep. So you're literally like dotting your I's, crossing your T's. We had a very extensive rehab program, which you were doing as frequently as we wanted you to. So
yeah. It was definitely one of those things though. Like, I'm just one of those type of people who can't sit still. I need to do something. And then that was always going to be my one thing of the day that I had to do. And then I'd have the whole day to try and find something else to do. So I'd wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning because the body clock, and I'd literally sit there looking at my watch going, okay, oh, like 2 hours. So I go to gym at 8 o'clock. Okay, I've got to just kill 2 hours and do something. And then when 8 o'clock comes, it's like, bang, got to go. Stay at gym as long as I could so I don't go home and sit on my ass and go crazy.
Yeah. I guess it does get you out of the house and it gives you a little bit of a goal, a little bit of a purpose.
Yeah.
Because obviously being such a not like busy and goal-oriented person normally,
yeah,
that's kind of what drives you to have purpose in your days.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, it literally became my full-time job just doing rehab because I wasn't working, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, professional powerlifter.
That's right. Professional powerlifter for 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
And so with your mindset, because we've touched on that was very strong, what do you think really helped you, like when you had times where you were either getting frustrated that you couldn't be where you used to be, or maybe if you were in a little bit of discomfort, like what really helped you to keep moving forward?
Oh, just chatting, just literally talking to either Bundy, yourself, Jax, Kane. I spoke to Josh a couple of times, who's also a client of yours, who did both of his quads at Pro Raw because he'd done his bicep as well. So I messaged him way too many times. Probably I annoyed him that much, even though he was going through something himself. But yeah, I knew it was all part of the process. So it was just, I'd have those days where it was like, oh, this is just shit, it hurts, blah, 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 blah. But in the end, I'd just be like, okay, I've just got to change this mindset because it's just not going to help and not get me anywhere.
Yeah. I think the way you've tackled this is, it's a good example for anyone, I guess, who has to go through this injury. Do you have any words of wisdom if there's anyone out there who is going through this right now?
Do your rehab. Because I swear to God, like, it just makes everything 100 times easier and 100 times faster, quicker. Because I couldn't have done this any quicker, like, at all.
Yeah.
Because I was back to work in 12 weeks, like, full duties. Like, you just need to do it and just bite the bullet. Because at the time, you might go, oh, maybe just give myself a little bit of time off while I'm healing over this, but just at least do that, because if you don't, then it's just going to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah. So we're currently 5 months post-surgery.
We are.
And you've been back in normal programming for 6 weeks?
Yes, yeah, six absolutely. Weeks. Yeah, I just finished my first six-week block and I actually start my new six-week block today.
So for those listening, let's give them a little update on your training. So what kind of numbers were we hitting in the last couple of weeks?
So last couple of weeks, my top bench set was 150 for four, and then back down sets of 2x4 at 145, and then another drop down set at, I think it was 2x8 at 135 from memory. Don't quote me on it. Don't go to my Instagram and find and go, you lied. And then deadlifts, I think I pulled 192 for four sets of five. And if there's one thing I could say, if you tear your bicep and you have to do hook grip, I'm very sorry, because it is absolutely hell trying to learn. And anyone who does hook grip already, you have my full appreciation, because it is absolutely hell trying to learn it.
Do you think that you're gradually getting used to it, or is it getting worse?
No, it's getting worse. I like to say it's getting easier, but in saying that, I've also just been doing fives. Like, I haven't really had to do like a ones or singles or triples. So that, yeah. I think this block I will be doing top triples. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And then with your squat, so you've been on safety bar up to now.
I was on a safety bar 2 weeks after surgery and I only just finished. So it was literally 5 months of safety bar squats.
Are they now one of your favorite exercises?
No, they are not. I don't care what anyone says. SSBs suck. And if you think they're good, then you're crazy.
Sadistic.
Yes, you're a psycho. You can have my Instagram name because you're genuinely a psycho.
And then, very exciting. So from this week, you're swapping away from the safety bar into high bars.
Yes. Actually, after this is done, I'm going straight to the gym and I'm doing high bars, which will test out the arm, because I actually went to go get under a bar on the weekend. I just forgot about it. So it'll be interesting. It'll be literally the first time, because I haven't even tried in the last 5 months. So
Ooh.
So it might be a frustrating afternoon.
But, yeah. But another milestone ticked off.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. And then, so with your training, I think we're about 48 weeks out now.
yeah, something like that.
Would you like to tell everybody what the next goal is? What are you currently training for?
Pro Raw next year. Yeah. So my invitation, I was speaking to him. I'm good friends with Marcos. And when I did the injury, the first thing he said to me was, you know, it was really shattered that I couldn't do it, but my invite gets carried over next year. So I was hoping that I didn't have to do a comp in between Pro Raw again to qualify. But nah, straight to Pro Raw again. So absolutely stoked with that.
Yeah, that's good. Like to see how hard you were working at Pro Raw last year, like or this year, once you got your invite and like you were literally doing everything you could, like nutrition, recovery, training, prehab, like you were doing, yeah, so much working towards that goal.
Yeah.
And then to see that kind of taken away from you. So now that you're back on track for next year's Pro Raw, which would be the first Pro Raw.
Yes.
You've been invited to.
Yes, it will be.
In the wraps division, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. So, yeah, I think everyone will enjoy seeing your progress and following that journey.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Very exciting. All righty. Is there anything else you want to tell everyone about your injury?
Off the top of my head, not really.
Not really.
I can't stress enough. Just do your rehab, people.
Yeah. Is there anything with your training now, like, that you would change after that significant injury? Obviously, you've changed to hook grip. Is there anything in general around training, recovery, anything like that moving forward?
Yes and no. Like I've always sort of done my prehab stuff, but at times I definitely was a bit lazy with it. But now it's just becoming, you know, take that extra 10, 15 minutes. Like it literally takes 10, 15 minutes. It's probably worth it in the long run because I'm not the most mobile person going around and I don't know what it's going to be like now. But I don't know really. Just it's hard to think on the spot.
just do the work,
you peanuts.
Wise words from Tyson McDonald.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Laura Fox.
It's been a great insight for everybody. Tell us about your injury, like, yeah, all the steps you've taken to rehab it to get where you are now, which is like pretty much pre-injury, and now you're definitely well on track for the next comp. So very exciting.
Thank you very much, Laura Fox, and thank you for everything that you helped me with through the process. And thank you to Jackson from Evolve, my coach, Kane, who's also my second coach, and Bunny, who's also my third coach.
There we go. Behind every successful person, there is always a team.
There's multiple people, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, and Beck. Thank you.
Thanks for being you. All right, peace out.
See you, Amies.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.